This is On Target St. John's, a look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know? The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
Hi there, it is Carrie Hotter filling in on Target St. John's today, and today we should have a very interesting discussion. We've got Kevin O'Shea on the line. He is the Executive Director of the Public Legal Information Association of Newfoundland and Labrador, otherwise known as PLEAN. Kevin O'Shea, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Carrie. It's great to be here.
So for anybody out there that's listening right now and they don't really know what PLEAN is, give us the Coles Notes.
Sure. We're a nonprofit organization. We're based here in St. John's, but we serve the entire province. And in fact, this year we've opened an office in Labrador in Goose Bay that I can talk a bit more about during the show today. And simply speaking, our mandate, our mission is to provide legal information and education to the people of the province, really to help them answer legal questions that they have, to find support, to find resources, and to increase access to justice in the province. That's really what our goal is. And we do that in a number of ways, and hopefully over the next little while here, I can highlight some of the programs and services that we have, especially some new programs that we have to offer to provide more legal support to people.
Yeah, I know you have a new program to provide legal services to those impacted by COVID-19, and that's province-wide. So what kind of issues are you expecting to hear from people when or in relation to COVID-19?
Well, it's really based on what we've been tracking over the course of the year, and obviously this year has been dominated by COVID-19, and it's impacted all parts of our society, and the legal system being no different. And we've tried to reflect that and to provide up to the public about what's been happening, the impacts on the courts and things like that. And we were able to access some emergency funding that came out from the federal government to provide a COVID-19 legal support service. And really what we're trying to do, it's a temporary program. It's only lasting until the end of March. But we want to provide people with access to legal advice if they've been impacted in some way by COVID-19 in terms of a legal issue, a legal problem. It doesn't have to be a direct impact. Like, it's not necessarily just the health guidelines or the travel ban or things like that in the province, but all the other impacts and effects that this year has brought because of COVID, financial impacts, the impacts on businesses. So what it does cover is that people can speak to a lawyer. We have a number of participating lawyers in this service, and get some legal advice in areas like labor and employment law, residential tenancies, landlord-tenant issues, and other housing issues, civil litigation and consumer protection, immigration law. The only areas we really don't cover under this program are family law and criminal law. And those are just, we don't have the capacity under this program to cover those areas, and legal aid already, that's under their mandate. But most other areas of law, if there's some connection, direct or indirect, to COVID-19, if people have been impacted, we can connect them with a lawyer, and they can access up to 5 hours of free legal advice through this service.
Okay, so I just want to clarify that the family and criminal matters, does PLEAN deal with those at all, or is it just under this COVID-19 services that you're not dealing with family and criminal matters?
Yeah, just under the COVID-19 service. Now, we do certainly provide information, provide lawyer referrals for family and criminal law in other ways. I should clarify that too. We run a lawyer referral service generally. We have for about 30 years now in the province, and that service connects people to lawyers as well. And it's at a cost. There's a $40 cost that people can talk to a lawyer for a 30-minute consultation. Again, that's available anywhere in the province. It can be in person, it can be by phone, and that covers really any area of law that you can think of that people have questions in. So if you do have a legal question, if you have a legal issue, or you're looking for help, looking to connect with a lawyer, I'd encourage you to contact us, and we can see maybe you qualify under the COVID-19 legal support service. But even if you don't, we will certainly be able to provide information to you, connect you with a lawyer, provide you other support.
Okay, and Kevin O'Shea, of course, the executive director of the Public Legal Information Association of Newfoundland and Labrador, is our guest today. I wonder, have you seen many people reach out to you looking for help when it comes to a COVID-19 issue?
We have, and again, that's in designing the program, that's sort of where this came from, is we were noticing people were contacting us, and it wasn't necessarily questions about, well, you know, how does the public health regulations impact me, or direct impacts of COVID-19? But it was things like, I've been laid off from my job, and I was promised I'd go back, be able to be hired back in a few months, but that hasn't happened. And what rights do I have in that situation? Or people who had a trip planned or to Europe, say in the spring, and that was canceled, and they haven't gotten a refund. And so what rights do they have in that situation? So it's really people who've been impacted in different ways by this strange world we're in as a result of COVID-19 and the financial impacts on businesses and really any industry. That's what we were seeing through the spring and summer come to our legal information line. And so we designed this program really to try and serve those people, to try and get them at least some access to legal advice from a lawyer for those types of problems.
Interesting. I actually was supposed to go on a trip to Cuba, or no, it was actually Dominican Republic back in April, and of course that got canceled because of COVID-19. I wasn't getting any satisfaction from the company that I had bought the trip with, but my visa actually reimbursed me. They said that they had, a lot of people in the same boat with this certain company, and so they were going to take it on. And as far as I know, I haven't had seen the money, taken back off my visa yet, which is good, I guess. They said, in a couple of months, if they don't get any satisfaction from the company, they would end up having to put the money back on my visa. But what kind of rights do grounded travelers have in that sort of a situation? I mean, thankfully, I got my money back, but for someone that was offered, a voucher instead of their actual cash back.
Well, but I think your story is a good example of that. Every situation is going to be a little bit different, and there's not necessarily a one-size-fits-all or one answer that covers every situation. But depending on the terms of the trip you booked, the company that you booked it through, whether you have some other potential coverage like through a credit card, the route to go and the options you might have are probably different in different situations. So for that reason, we would encourage people to seek out information through our service, to try and talk to a lawyer and find out, well, what does apply to your situation? Do I have the ability to pursue some action here? Or do I have a route I can see towards compensation or towards reimbursement? And that goes for a lot of different situations. Another one we've seen is people who have had events booked at a venue, like a wedding, for example, and when the lockdown hit in the spring, venues were closed, some went out of business, and there's been some situations where people have had a hard time getting refunds back for those bookings. And so, again, depending on the agreement they made, the contract that was signed in booking those events, the options might be different. So that's another example of something that we could cover under the legal support service, and we'd encourage people to reach out and seek out that help.
Right. So COVID-19 certainly did bring up a lot of legal issues that we couldn't have foreseen, I guess, even just, 8 months ago. And you guys are helping people deal with that at PLEAN. It is the Public Legal Information Association. What are the phone numbers if somebody's out there listening right now and thinking, I have to get in touch with these people because I have a question?
Well, we've got a 1-800 number people can call from anywhere in the province, 1-888-660-7788. People can also email us, info@publiclegalinfo.com. But what I'll add as well is, as I mentioned, we've recently opened our Labrador office in Happy Valley Goose Bay. And so people in the Labrador region can contact that office as well at 896-5235. Or they can email that office at labrador@publiclegalinfo.com. And that's for both the COVID-19 Legal Support Service and our general legal information line and lawyer referral service. So really any legal issue, if you are looking for help, looking for assistance, feel free to contact those numbers or email those email addresses, and we'll be able to point you in the right direction.
Perfect. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about that Labrador office and other things, of course, with the Public Legal Information Association of Newfoundland and Labrador. We've got the executive director as our guest on Target St. John's today. It is Kevin O'Shea, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
Good afternoon. It is Carrie Hotter on Target St. John's. And on the line, I've got Kevin O'Shea, the executive director of the Public Legal Information Association of Newfoundland and Labrador. I guess you got to change your acronym now to PLEANL because you guys have expanded into Labrador indeed. And you've got an office in, is it Happy Valley Goose Bay?
If that's right, in Goose Bay, yeah. It's always been a bit of an awkward acronym anyway, so we usually refer to ourselves as Public Legal Information or, you know, Public Legal Information Association, but you're right, we've always served the entire province, but we have our base of operations there in Goose Bay to serve all of Labrador, and a staff person there, our Access to Justice Coordinator for Labrador, Shirley White, who's been working there with us since the spring. And we've opened our office, the physical location in Goose Bay since July. So we're up and running for sure.
Okay, so, you know, if COVID-19 has taught us anything, really, it's that most things can be done remotely. Why did you decide to open up an office in Labrador? Why was a presence in the big land so important?
Well, it's true. We can do quite a bit by telephone, by email, by Zoom call, virtual means. But what we found over the years, and especially in trying to deliver services to all parts of the province, including Labrador, is that at the end of the day, nothing really beats having that in-person connection and being able to have someone on the ground in a particular region who understands the community, can connect with different organizations, different community groups there, and legal stakeholders, and provide those services when possible in person. As I said at the beginning, our mission, our mandate is to increase access to justice in the province. And what I've seen when I've traveled to Labrador, I was actually just there last week, is that there are quite a few access to justice challenges. It's the geography of Labrador. It's the history of the impact of the legal system on Indigenous communities in Labrador. Access to resources, access to lawyers in the region. There's very few private practicing lawyers in Labrador. And so we saw a real need to increase the services that we have there. And we thought a good starting point is to actually have a physical office location, to have a staff person who's based there and can travel throughout the region and really find out what are the legal needs for people in communities in Labrador, and so that we can work with other nonprofit organizations, with the courts, with legal aid, with government, to try and enhance that legal support in Labrador. So that's what we're getting off the ground now. It's just at the beginning of this project, and we've got a lot of work to do. And our hands have been tied a little bit by COVID-19 and restricting our travel. But we're very excited to have this office established, and we think it's serving an important need in the region.
Is it difficult to gain the trust as a lawyer from St. John's of people from our Indigenous communities in Labrador?
Well, I think for the whole region, you know, if you're trying to connect with a lawyer and get legal support from someone on the island, there's that geographic distance, and, you know, many lawyers from St. John's travel to Labrador to represent people in court and to provide legal services. But, you know, there's still that you're not quite as familiar with the region, with what's happening in those communities. As much as possible, we want to connect people to lawyers as close to them as they can in their own communities. It's a challenge we see on the island, too, and there's a lot of areas of the province that don't have many private practicing lawyers and are far distances from courthouses and other supports. So it's not just an issue in Labrador, but I think it's pretty stark there because, like I said, you've only got a couple of firms that are on the ground in Goose Bay and in Labrador City, and then, a pretty big geographic area that really doesn't have the same access to lawyers as we have in other places.
And how do you see the issues differing with the people that you work with in Labrador?
Not necessarily different. I think just more stark. That challenge of lack of access when you have circuit courts that are only going into communities every so often, and there's then you have much longer delays in cases being resolved, in trials happening in certain parts. And again, those circuit courts are fairly prevalent in Labrador and the North Coast, for example. And so that gets to really the heart of that issue of access to justice. If you have long delays in the outcome of criminal trials or other types of trials as well, you know, I think it's a challenge for people to really buy into the legal system or feel that it's representing their needs or it's helping resolve legal disputes when you have those issues. So I don't think our office is the solution to everything. We're not going to solve every access to justice challenge, but hopefully we can be a piece and we can help work with other organizations, other stakeholders to do what we can to increase access to justice in the region.
Are you hoping to kind of level the playing field, I guess, when it comes to access to legal information for people in rural parts of our province as compared to, you know, Corner Brook, St. John's, the metro area, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. We prioritize that. And when we apply for project funding, for example, from different sources, what we always build in is money to travel to rural and remote parts of the province and deliver presentations, deliver publications directly to people in those communities. We prioritize translation of our documents, and you know, getting back to the Labrador region, we're working on translation into indigenous languages, into both dialects of Inuaman and into Inuktitut as well. We already have some of our publications are translated, but we're looking to develop others additionally. We have another project ongoing to support newcomers to the province, and similarly looking to translate some of our existing publications into many different languages that are spoken by people who've recently arrived in the province. So we're always on the outlook for what can we do to try and increase access to justice in different ways. And some of it's physical access to connect people, to provide legal information, to deliver presentations. Some of it's things like translated documents and materials. But there's a lot of work to do in a lot of different aspects of that.
Okay. And Kevin O'Shea from the Public Legal Information Association of Newfoundland and Labrador, what kind of issues are new Canadians coming to you with?
It's not that dissimilar from the issues that everyone faces, legal issues that come up day to day. I think the challenge and what we're trying to address with our newcomer population is they're arriving in Canada. They may not have a lot of familiarity with the Canadian legal system, with court processes here in the province, with the rights that they have in the system. So we do see a lot of questions and issues around things like labor and employment rights, around rights as a tenant in residential tenancies and landlord-tenant relationships. Questions around the family law system and going through a divorce or separation. So it's the efforts we're making under this project that we've had for a few years now is to reach out to newcomer communities, newcomer populations, and organizations that work with newcomers and design legal information materials on these sorts of issues that are specifically targeted for those populations and are translated into languages that are commonly spoken by newcomers.
Okay. I was wondering as well, where does your funding come from?
Well, it comes from a number of different sources. You know, that project in particular is funded by the provincial government's Office of Immigration. We have funding from the Federal Department of Justice. We have core funding as well from the Law Foundation of Newfoundland and Labrador and the Law Society of Newfoundland and Labrador. So we have funding that allows us to run our day-to-day operations, like our legal information line and lawyer referral service, but we always seek additional project funding as well that will help us develop specific materials or specific projects for different populations and different legal needs. And the newcomers project to help educate newcomers to the province on their legal rights is a good example of that.
Right. We're going to take a quick break here on Target St. John's. It is Carrie Hotter in for Linda Swaim. We're speaking with Kevin O'Shea, the Executive Director of the Public Legal Information Association of Newfoundland and Labrador. And we'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swaim on Target St. John's on VOCM.
Carrie Hotter back with you once again here on Target St. John's. My guest today is Kevin O'Shea, the Executive Director of the Public Legal Information Association. And we've been talking about the new COVID program that you guys have on the go, your new office in Labrador as well. The new COVID program does not cover family law, of course, but that's not to say that Plian doesn't cover family law, because I think that everybody out there can understand that COVID has certainly put a strain on relationships, but you guys can help out when it comes to family law, divorce, that kind of thing as well, right?
Absolutely. And it's always been probably our most popular area of inquiry is family law issues. It's about a third of the calls we get and emails we get is related to family law.
Have you seen that increase?
It's been pretty steady. It perhaps increased a little bit over the course of the summer and into the fall, questions on family law. And I think one of the reasons we haven't necessarily seen a huge increase is that the courts were more or less shut down in the spring. So there wasn't a lot proceeding in the courts, including in family court. But as things start to open up and, family division, Supreme Court family division in St. John's has opened up again with doing more in-person hearings and actually starting an appointment system so that people can book an appointment to go to the family court registry in St. John's. As that happens, I'd expect we're going to see an increase in calls as those matters start to get going again.
What is the number one piece of advice that you would offer someone that's thinking about getting divorced?
Get some legal advice is my biggest piece of advice. I think even if you end up deciding to represent yourself, I would at least seek out a consultation, and we do offer consultations through our lawyer referral service. You can sit down with a family law lawyer for a 30-minute consultation for $40. I think even if you decide to go a different route or, like I said, a lot of people are representing themselves in family court, but it's really important, I think, to get some legal advice as early as possible and to consider what your options are, what the process might look like, and to go from there.
And you and I were speaking off air. You mentioned that you actually have a family law form available on your website.
We do. Well, we've worked with the Supreme Court Family Division in the last couple of years. We developed this online tool that helps people complete their application forms for family court on our website. So that's publiclegalinfo.com. And right at the top of our homepage, you'll see Family Law Form Builder. And that lets people actually create a username and password and go in. And the program guides people through the process. So it'll ask you questions about, what is it you're looking for? What applies to your situation? Are there children involved? You're looking for a parenting order? Is it division of property? Is it child support or spousal support? And then once you go through this process of answering these questions, it's sort of what's called a guided pathways model to create these forms. At the end, it'll populate the Supreme Court Family Division forms for you so that you can print them out and then bring them into family court to file.
And that really could be like your separation agreement right there.
We don't have separation agreements.
Okay.
This is for actually making an application to family court. Now, separation agreements could be done separately. We certainly would encourage getting legal advice if you're completing a separation agreement. And they're not necessarily, if it's an agreement that's negotiated between the two partners that are separating or the spouses that are separating, it doesn't necessarily need to go into the court at all. It can be agreed to outside of court. So this is for anything that you'd be bringing into the court system, like an originating application for custody and access of children or for divorce or to respond to those applications. So if you've been served with an application for divorce, to help you actually put your response in.
Okay. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the sexual violence legal support service that you guys offer as well. It's called The Journey Project. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, this is a collaboration we've had now for over 3 years with the Sexual Assault Crisis and Prevention Center. And the goal of this from the beginning has been, how can we increase support for survivors of sexual violence within the legal system? And we started out developing some training around trauma and the impact of trauma on people who've experienced sexual violence. And we deliver that training to legal stakeholders around the province, including police officers, court workers, non-legal service providers as well. But then a few years ago, we added on a new piece of this project, which is called the Sexual Violence Legal Support Service. And this provides access to survivors to lawyers for free legal advice. Originally, that service was up to 4 hours of free legal advice. We've now removed the cap, so there's no limit on the amount of legal advice that a person can obtain through this service. And it's for any type of sexual violence. It's for people who've experienced sexual assault, sexual harassment, sexual harassment in the workplace, online sexual harassment or abuse, like the distribution of intimate images without a person's consent. Really, any type of sexual violence, people can access information through our program, and can be connected with a lawyer and receive legal advice from participating lawyers in our roster. And I'll say as well, this is for people at any stage of the process, whether or not they've reported to police, whether or not they ever choose to report to police, they can speak to us completely confidential and can talk to a lawyer, again, confidentially and for free.
Okay, so that's good to know. People can actually go to you guys, and it is confidential, of course. Lawyer-client confidentiality absolutely takes place, or what's the word I'm looking for? Plan, you guys are, you know, it's all confidential as well, even though someone's going in to see you at a reduced rate kind of thing. It is all confidential. And if someone comes to you and says that they've been sexually assaulted, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to press charges if they don't want to. They're just going to you for some advice.
Exactly. Okay. And really, one of the goals of this program is to help people who've experienced sexual violence, like any form of violence, any form of sexual violence, to understand the options that they have and to consider, well, if I choose a certain route or if I go down this path, what might it look like? What support can I get? And help people to make a decision that's informed and that they understand what rights they have depending on the situation. So people aren't sure, even if people aren't really sure if what happened to me is a form of sexual violence or was it a sexual assault, was it harassment, please, we'd encourage you to call. And we have three legal support navigators, is the name of the position, who work between PLEAN and the Sexual Assault Center, well-trained and have worked with hundreds of clients now, hundreds of people in the province, to provide support and go through their options and to help people make those informed decisions. So if you're not sure, please do reach out. And I'll share the numbers for the Journey Project because it's a separate line. It's 1-833-722-2805. And the email address is support@journeyprojectnl.com. So 1-833-722-2805.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. I've been wondering, you know, the Sexual Violence Legal Support Service or the Journey Project seems so important. Did you find that there was a real great need for this in our community? Is that where this sprung from?
Absolutely. I mean, it really came out of work that we were already doing with the Sexual Assault Crisis and Prevention Center a few years ago. We had started delivering some presentations on consent and sexual violence around the province. And, you know, it's a quite natural partnership because we come at the issue from the legal perspective and the legal education perspective. The Sexual Assault Center has several decades of experience of providing victim-centered support, trauma-informed support to survivors. So it's a really quite natural pairing. And as we worked more together, we were hearing, you know, seeing the need in the community for this type of enhanced support. And really this partnership started to become more formal at the time when the Me Too movement was really taking off and a lot of these high-profile sexual assault and sexual harassment cases were coming up in the media. And, you know, we saw that there was a need, I think it had always existed, but it was becoming more prevalent to have greater supports for people who are considering entering the legal system or already involved in the legal system to know what their rights are and to access some advice.
Yeah, and some of those cases, of course, still before the courts, still not resolved. The justice and legal system has really come under fire in the last few years for the way in which sexual assault and sexual violence has been dealt with. Is there a better way forward?
Well, you can look at individual cases and see where there's been, if you're an advocate for a survivor or if you're just in the general public looking at these cases and wondering, you know, is this really serving the justice needs, or is there access to justice here for survivors? And those questions will come up when you get into some of these cases. When you zoom out and you consider all these cases together, it's understandable that people might, you can understand why many people do not come forward and do not report incidents of sexual violence, and you can see where there's so many different barriers to really achieving justice and to getting the support that people need. You can see where there's examples of re-traumatization and re-victimization that often happens within the justice system for survivors. And so when you put all that together, we know the stats that the vast majority of people who've experienced sexual violence do not report those incidents, do not report what happened to police or pursue any type of legal action. So you have to consider, you know, are there better ways to do this, and what can we do both within the current legal system to increase support, and are there alternate routes we can go as well? There's discussion that's happened around training for judges, and in fact, federally, there was a bill reintroduced at Parliament in Ottawa to mandate continuing education for federally appointed judges on sexual assault law and the social context around sexual assault. So that's been, it stalled out a little bit in Parliament, I think in the Senate in the last few years, and then we had an election last year, so these bills get stalled out. But it's been reintroduced by the Federal Minister of Justice, and presumably is going to be moving forward in the next little while. That would cover federally appointed judges, so meaning superior court judges like our Supreme Court of Newfoundland and Labrador. The bill would not cover provincial court judges, though. That's the mandate of provincial governments. And some provinces have introduced similar bills that would mandate that type of education for provincial court judges. Like Ontario, Prince Edward Island have brought forward these bills. So it's something to consider, I think, if it's happening at the federal parliament for federally appointed judges, perhaps it's something for the provincial government to look at as well with provincial court judges.
And what kind of education would the judges be getting?
When we talk about the bill in Ottawa refers to the social context surrounding sexual assault. So part of that, I think, would be addressing some of the myths and misconceptions around sexual assault that unfortunately do persist, and that there's been examples where judges hearing sexual assault cases have reinforced those myths in the not too recent past, and judges questioning about what a victim was wearing, and did that lead to a sexual assault, or asking, there was a notable case a few years ago of a judge asking a victim while testifying, well, why didn't you keep your knees together? And it's reinforcing these myths about the behavior of victims that is really one of those big barriers to people pursuing justice in the legal system and leading to re-traumatization. The other big area I think that can be covered in these types of education sessions is the impact of trauma. And that's something that I think science is still working on and still understanding, and people are getting a better understanding of the impact of trauma. But sexual violence is certainly an incredibly traumatic incident. And how that manifests in a person, it might lead to strange behavior that we're not expecting. We wouldn't expect of the quote-unquote typical victim. But the reality is people react to trauma in many different ways and may display strange or unusual behavior when they're talking to the police, when they're testifying in court. And having a better understanding of that in the background really will help judges make better decisions and get to the truth of what happened in an incident. And I think the same can be said for anyone involved in the legal system who might be working with survivors of sexual violence, if they have an understanding of the impact that trauma has on a person, then they can better serve that person and work with them within the legal system.
Is there any way, like just a regular Canadian, can help get this bill pushed through? Should we reach out to our MPs, that kind of thing?
Well, it's absolutely being considered in Parliament right now. I don't know what reading it's at. It hasn't been passed yet, but it would be something to reach out to your member of Parliament about, or to contact the Minister of Justice, David Lametti, is the Federal Minister of Justice, and promote this bill.
Seems like it would be worthwhile for sure. We're going to take a quick break here on Target St. John's. Now we're having a very interesting conversation, as always, with Kevin O'Shea. He is the Executive Director of the Public Legal Information Association of Newfoundland and Labrador, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
Good afternoon and welcome back to On Target St. John's. It is Carrie Hodder, and on the line with me now we're speaking with Kevin O'Shea, the Executive Director of the Public Legal Information Association for Newfoundland and Labrador. Kevin, it's been quite an interesting conversation so far this hour. We're in our last segment now. I wanted to ask you, when it comes to people that come into your office, do you find that most people are generally well informed about the legal or justice system, or are they going in with basically no clue whatsoever?
What I found in my time as executive director here, I think people are becoming more and more savvy and are taking things on themselves within the legal system. And we've seen a huge increase in the number of self-represented litigants, meaning people representing themselves in court, whether it's a family law matter, whether it's probating a will or trying to deal with land issues on their own. And they are, I think there's a pretty good base of knowledge that people have, and there's more accessibility on the internet. There's information that's out there. That being said, it can be challenging still, and people are running into issues as they go along a process, and they might run into roadblocks and need some further assistance. And, hopefully that's what we can provide, is some of that general legal information to help them, and then also to access a lawyer and to at least speak with a lawyer for some guidance and some advice. Even if you do end up representing yourself eventually, I always tell people it's not a bad idea to at least sit down with a lawyer for a short consultation and get some advice, and then you can decide from there what you want to do. But I think, I think people have some general, pretty good general knowledge of the legal system. Sometimes it's a little bit influenced by what we see on American TV shows, and that's not always accurate to the Canadian legal system or Newfoundland and Labrador court processes. But there's a fair amount of information out there. Just sometimes navigating through all that information can be a bit challenging.
What would be the biggest difference, I guess, between the Canadian and the U.S. justice system? Because, most of our entertainment in Canada does come from the U.S., and I watch Law and Order religiously and all, but it is quite different from the Canadian system, isn't it?
There's a lot of similarities. We're both have roots in the English common law system, but then when you get down into the nitty-gritty of it, there's often changes in the terminology. One that comes to mind, I'm a big Law and Order fan as well, is that many more cases in criminal cases in the U.S. are decided by juries. Juries are very prevalent in the U.S., and actually they're fairly rare here in Canada, except for some more really serious criminal offenses. The norm is not to have a jury in Canada. It's just a judge alone who decides most criminal cases, the vast majority. So that's, if you only watched Law and Order, you might think it's all jury trials in criminal court, but that's not the case.
I think we should do a little rundown now of what we've spoke about over the last hour. We started off, of course, talking about the COVID-19 program that you now have in place. Tell our listeners about that in case they're just joining us.
That's right. So if people from now until the end of March 2021, we have a special service to provide legal advice, access to lawyers for people who have been impacted by COVID-19 in some way through a legal issue. So this can be accessed by calling 1-888-660-7788 or info@publiclegalinfo.com. And It does not cover family law or criminal law matters, but essentially anything else where there's some connection indirectly or directly to COVID-19, we can provide access to free legal advice through this service.
Okay, and you also have a program for newcomers to Canada.
That's right, and I didn't mention our contact information, but if you are a newcomer in the province or if you're an organization who works with newcomers and you're looking for information materials, presentations, some guidance and support, I'd encourage you to contact our project coordinator, Megan House. She can be called at 221-0821 or email newcomers@publiclegalinfo.com.
Okay, and then the last thing that we talked about was the Journey Project for Sexual Violence Legal Support Services. Tell our listeners about that.
That's right. So this program is there for anyone who's experienced any form of sexual violence in the province, and people can speak to one of our legal support navigators and receive referrals to resources in the community, general information, and they can also receive referrals to participating lawyers for free legal advice about the options they might want to pursue, what rights they have, and different questions they have around that process. So the Sexual Violence Legal Support Service can be contacted at 1-833-722-2805 or email support@journeyprojectnl.com.
Oh, and of course, we spoke about the Labrador office as
yep.
well, and you gave out some contact information for them, just in case someone's standing by with a pen and or paper, you know, ready to write down that contact info. Go ahead and give us that.
Yeah, our Labrador office is in Happy Valley Goose Bay, and I'd encourage you to contact our Access to Justice Coordinator in Labrador at 896-5235 or email labrador@publiclegalinfo.com. And I'll add as well, Carrie, that all of this information, all of our resources, our services can be found on our website, which is publiclegalinfo.com.
All right, perfect. We've got about 3 minutes left to the show. Kevin O'Shea, the Executive Director of the Public Legal Information Association of Newfoundland and Labrador, what are your final thoughts?
I mentioned the Newcomer Project and encouraging organizations to reach out to us. Would certainly do that. But if you are any type of community organization, any group that you think would benefit from legal education or legal information for the people you work with or the people in your organization, do give us a call and reach out. We have a number of presentations on different legal issues, and we're always happy to work with a group to adapt a presentation or adapt materials that we have and to meet their needs. Or maybe there's a new legal issue that we don't have information on yet. So give us a call and we'll see what we can do. We've been doing a lot of presentations virtually over Zoom, and we can certainly do that. And we're starting to travel a little bit where we can and deliver presentations in person. So really whatever meets the needs of your group, we'd be happy to work with you and to provide legal education that addresses the issues that your group might be facing.
So basically, you guys have a program that could really help everybody, no matter what kind of situation they're facing, it seems like to me, and at a low cost, too. You know, a lot of people, as we mentioned, you know, on American TV and stuff, we expect to go in and see a lawyer in, you know, a $2,000 suit, and it might be a little bit intimidating. We think it's going to cost an arm and a leg to get some representation or even some advice, but that is not the case when it comes to the Public Legal Information Association of Newfoundland and Labrador.
That's right. It costs nothing to contact us, and all the materials and services we provide directly are free. The only cost would be if you do receive a referral through our lawyer referral service. It's a $40 cost for a 30-minute consultation with one of our participating lawyers. So if you do have a legal question, you're not sure where to turn, give us a call and we will certainly work with you to figure out the best options and the best support we can provide.
Excellent. Kevin O'Shea, thank you very much. It's been an enlightening conversation. I've quite enjoyed this. You have a great day.
Thanks very much, Carrie.
And that is Kevin O'Shea of the Public Legal Information Association. A little bit tongue-tied toward the end of the show. My old clappers wore out, as my MB would say. But there you go. He is the executive director. And if you want to reach out to them, by all means do. A few phone numbers for you in Labrador, 709-896-527 or 5235. Here locally in Newfoundland and Labrador in the metro area, 722-2643 or long distance toll-free 1-888-660-7788. Thank you very much for listening to On Target St. John's. I'm Carrie Hodder filling in for Linda Swain.